And this week I want to share something with you that I believe that Jesus could not stand, and it may surprise you. I believe that Jesus would undo religion. Now, when I say religion, I want to hammer on the religion of cultural Christianity. And here's how cultural Christianity is defined. Cultural Christianity is defined as a Christianity that mixes national identity with religious identity. So I'm an American, I'm a Christian, it's the same thing. So it mixes those two things, and it's mostly about the golden rule moralism, so just be good to other people, good citizenship, and family values. Now, none of those things are bad things, of course, but what's bad is that cultural Christianity reflects culture more than it does the life of Jesus. And as a result of this, you've got masses of people that are leaving the church. In fact, it was Gandhi that said, and I think that this is so typical, typifies today, he said, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." And I would say it's possible today to be an American Christian and not look anything like Jesus. And so this morning I want to give you four reasons why I believe that Jesus would undo religion. I want to pick up a story, if you've got your Bibles, in Luke chapter 11. We're going to look at a story. Jesus is talking to the crowds, and he's invited by a Pharisee to dinner. Let's pick it up, verse 37. It says, "When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table." Now, you may know this, but Pharisees, these are the guys that, when it comes to the Bible, they make up rules about the rules, and they enforce the rules, and they apply the rules, they interpret the rules, and if you find a way to work around the rules, they just change the rules, and so they're the rule keepers. And Jesus goes to dinner with them, which sounds like a lot of fun, and I think maybe they want to elevate their social status, so they invite a rabbi to speak with them, or maybe they're just trying to teach Jesus a few truths. And so here's what happens.
In Luke chapter 11, verse 38, it says, "But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal," it says, "but the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not wash before the meal." Now, the Greek word for surprised, it's literally, you can translate it to be shocked out of your mind, astonished out of your senses. And so Jesus doesn't wash his hands, and they're shocked. They're like, "What are you doing? Jesus, what are you doing?" Why? Because Jesus broke one of their rules. Now, if you're taking notes, you can write this in, that religious people make up rules about God. Why would Jesus undo religion? Religious people make up rules for God. Now, here's the rule, is that you've got to wash your hands before dinner. Now, it's not washing your hands for sanitary purposes. You wash your hands for a ceremonial purpose. You've got a law in the Bible, and they're not just applying the law in the Bible. They're making up a rule so that you don't even get close to violating the law in the Bible. Now, the Bible never says thou must wash thine hands or anything like that. But the religious guys, man, they get together and they come up with these rules, and they essentially make these rules equal to the word of God, and they enforce it like that. And so it's like, "Hey, Jesus, welcome to our house for dinner. You didn't wash your hands." And Jesus breaks one of their rules, and they're scandalized. Now imagine, it's almost like Jesus getting invited to a state dinner at the White House, and they set this lavish feast for Jesus, and Jesus refusing to eat the dinner because he's trying to show the disparity between the wealth of these government leaders and the disparity between the wealth of the government leaders and the world's poor. I mean, it would be shocking. Now, Jesus is making a serious theological point in all of this. It's not a sanitary thing. What Jesus is saying by not washing his hands is, "I don't acknowledge your rules. Your rules are religious. They're not in the Bible, and they don't lead anybody to freedom." And you see this all the time. In fact, I read an article that had just kind of a list of a bunch of kind of Christian rules that people have experienced. And there's one lady that said, "My family was in a nationwide school and ministry group, and the leader believed that wearing blue jeans gave the impression of rebellion. So you're not allowed to wear blue jeans, because nothing says rebellion like jeans." Here's an awesome one. There's a lady, Cara. She says, "We weren't allowed to wear black polos at our private school. Any other colors were okay, but not black, because if you wear black, you love the devil." I've talked with people. They said, you know, I've talked to people, and they said, you know, if you vote Democrat, you can't be a California, or you can't be a Christian. And I just say, like, there goes California. It's like, it's not in the Bible. I love this one. Tattoos. I hear this all the time. Like, if you're a Christian, you can't have a tattoo. And be like, well, where do you see that in the Bible? We're like, oh, well, it's in there somewhere. I'm like, are you talking about Leviticus 19:28, where it's talking specifically to the priests, and when you go into the altar, you can't have a tattoo or a marking of another god? All right, so if that's you, if you're in the line of Aaron, and you're serving your priestly duties, don't get a tattoo, but everybody else, you're okay. Or how about this one? Maybe this one hits a little closer to home. I've heard this all the time, that Christians shouldn't drink alcohol. And now, if you don't drink alcohol because you come from a family of alcoholics, or you see a lot of abuse from alcohol, that's great. That's wisdom. Don't drink alcohol. That's wisdom. But you can't say that Jesus turned water into grape juice. Right? That doesn't work. You're just messing with the Bible. Now, what the Bible says is don't get drunk. It says not to abuse alcohol. Jesus doesn't want people disobeying the law. Jesus doesn't want people drinking and driving. But it doesn't say anywhere that you shouldn't drink alcohol. So you cannot change the Bible so that it just works for you. And you see it all the time where people make up rules that kind of sound like the Bible, but they're just religion. See, the big idea is that we can't make rules for God. God makes the rules. God's rules are sufficient. You don't need any more than that. And you can have your preferences. You can hold your preferences passionately. You can have good reasons. You can share those good reasons with other people. But do not confuse God's principles with your methods. Here's number two, if you're taking notes, is that religious people are more concerned with how they look than who they are. They put on the mask, they put on the appearance, they look religious, but there's no inward transformation in their life. Let's pick up the story, Luke chapter 11, verse 39. It says, then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now as for what's inside you, be generous to the poor and everything will be clean for you. What's Jesus saying here? They were so concerned about the show that they didn't have any substance. They were so concerned with how they looked that they didn't pay any attention to how they were being transformed. And I look at this verse and I think, you know, it's possible to look the part but not have any substance, but to not even love Jesus. I mean, I think about, like, you know, you could tell your spouse that you love them and then flirt all day at work. You could look like a good church person on Sunday and then live completely different the other 6 days of the week. You can show on Instagram that you've got a perfect family and a perfect marriage, but in reality, you're just hanging on by a thread. You can act like a Christian when you're with Christians, but in reality, you've got these secret addictions that you're not dealing with, you're not turning from, you're not getting help with, you don't have accountability for. You can, as a family, be like Mad Max on the way to church, and then you get to church, and you're like the Brady Bunch. Right? You can have the mask on, but internally, there's something else going on. And what I think a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, following Jesus is not first about what you do. Following Jesus is about what Jesus has already done for you and letting the Holy Spirit transform us and doing a work inside of us that nobody can see, but then impacts the way that we live. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 139. He says, search me, God, and know my heart. Right? He's not like, don't make me look all good. He's saying, search my heart where nobody can see it. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. And encourage me where we would drop the mask, we would confess to God and to people, and we would walk with Jesus. Here's the third one. Why would Jesus undo religion? Because religious people major on the minors. They major on the minors. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. It says, woe to you Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, your rue, and all of your kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. He's saying, here's the problem with you religious people. You take something good like tithing. Tithing's a good thing. We teach tithing. You take something like tithing, but you make that the main thing. That's all you're focused on, when in reality, you're completely missing the things that are absolutely crucial, like how you treat other human beings. And Jesus says this in another place, Matthew 23. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." And when Jesus says, "Woe to you," and in Matthew 23, there's six or seven of them, and he says, "Woe to you," it's a prophetic utterance. It's a way of saying doom and destruction to you. Woe to you, doom and destruction to you. Why? Teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you've got a mask on, you're faking it. You give a tenth of your spices. Now, a tenth, a basic tithe was 10%, and I think in Hebrew scriptures, it's something like 25% it adds up to. And these guys were so serious about the tithe that Jesus says they were tithing out of their spice rack. Now, imagine that, like you're dumping your spices out. It looks like you're cutting crack or something. Like, I don't even know how you separate that. And this is like a religious person with OCD and too much free time. And Jesus says, you know what, though? Like, you tithe out of your spice rack, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law. That's justice, mercy, and faithfulness. See, these guys, they're not hypocrites because they tithed. They're hypocrites because they tithed, but they weren't compassionate. They didn't put their arms around people. They didn't give generously to those that needed. They did nothing to redeem what was broken in their society. They didn't carry the burdens of those who were struggling. They tithed their carefully tended gardens, but then they looked right past the needs of the people that were around them. See, they focused on the good thing, but they totally missed what was most important. It's like coming to church. That's a good thing. But failing to disciple your kids at home, that's the crucial thing. It's like saving for retirement. That's a good thing. But then failing to make a difference for the kingdom of God and eternal purposes, that's a crucial thing. It's like fighting for the rights of the unborn. That's a good thing. But failing to care for the single mom or adopting or doing foster care, that's the crucial thing. And see, we as American Christians, we've campaigned against certain things. We tithe our spice racks, but we've neglected the more important things, loving God and loving other human beings. See, religious people, they major on the minors. And as a result of this, here's number four, is that religious people are spiritually dead. I mean, they may look good on the outside, but man, they're dead. Luke chapter 11, verse 44, again, he says, "Woe to you, because you're like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it." Now, here's the allusion is to a passage in Numbers chapter 19, where it gives an account of how you're not supposed to touch a dead person or a grave because it'll make you ceremonially unclean. And so if you touch a grave on accident or on purpose, you basically get quarantined. You've got to go through all of these purifying rituals and cleanse yourselves and bathings and things like that. And so for 1 week, you're quarantined. And so what Jesus is saying is like, hey, you don't want to step on a grave. And so what they would do is they would put these markers over the tombs, or they would wash them with this white limestone substance so that everyone would be able to see where the graves and where the tombs were. And once in a while, people wouldn't do that, or the rains would wash them away, and somebody would stumble into it. They'd step on a grave. They didn't know it, that it was marked. And all of a sudden, they're defiled, they're quarantined, and they've got a big week of cleansing ahead of them. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, number one, religious people are spiritually dead. It's a huge statement. They're spiritually dead. You look like you're physically alive. You look at the things that you're doing or all the things that you're showing. But inwardly, they don't know Jesus. They don't love Jesus. They don't enjoy Jesus. And he says, in addition to that, not only are you dead, but you are defiling other people. You think that you're making them clean? Your religious lifestyle is making them unclean. You think that you're making them holy? Your religious lifestyle is making them unholy. You think that you're liberating them? Your religious lifestyle is putting them into slavery. Your religious lifestyle is misleading people. And in Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 23, the context is all of these woes, all of this doom and destruction to the religious leaders is because at this crucial point at which Jesus intersects history, these religious people are distracting them from Jesus by their rules and religion. Your religious lifestyle is leading people away from Jesus. And I need you to see that about religion. That religion does not lead people to Jesus. Religion leads people away from Jesus. Not only does it make you spiritually dead, but it causes all the people that you're trying to win over to your religion spiritually dead. And some of us, we think of religion and Jesus as synonymous, as the same thing, but they're not. They're opposites. And some of you would see Jesus plus religion. But I would say that Jesus plus anything ruins everything. It's Jesus or religion. It's never Jesus plus religion. And you may say, why are you hating on religion so much? Why don't we support religion? Because religion doesn't help people. Religion builds a system that compels people to be like other people and not like Jesus. And honestly, do you know that Jesus didn't come to start Christianity? Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. Jesus came to bring his kingdom as a king. And we can follow Jesus as King Jesus, or we cannot, but it's not to be more religious. Let me take us to one more passage, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, what's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. So just look at that. This is the Apostle Paul. And up to the point of Paul meeting Jesus, he is the most religious man probably in the history of the world. He said he was faultless when it comes to the law. Now what that means is that in the law of Moses, there's 613 commandments. And Paul was saying, I did all of them perfectly. 613 for 613, flawless. And so not only was he religious, not only was he faultless, but he had a career, he had prestige as a religious leader. And he says, I consider everything, all of that, all the career, all the prestige, all of that, a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. And here's what he says, I consider them garbage. All of this, the religious rules that I'll follow, all the rule-keeping, all of this, I consider it garbage. Now, it's unfortunate that our English translators translated this as garbage or as rubbish because it's the Greek word skubalon. And the Greek word for skubalon throughout the years when people are bold enough to translate it how it should be, it would be a word that I'm not going to say today. So it would be a word that if your kids said it and they came home from school, you wash their mouth out with soap. Skubalon is a bad word, and so I'm just going to refer to it as a steaming pile of poop, okay? Are we okay with that? And so here's what Paul says. He says, my whole life, all of my works, all of my religion, all of the rule-keeping, all of the rule-making, all the rule-enforcing, all the rule-interpreting, once I met Jesus, I realized it's just a steaming pile of poop. Next time you guys step outside your house and you're neighbor's dog has left a gift for you on the lawn, I just want you to look at that and say, there lies religion. And it's amazing because religious people, and I'm hammering on religious Christians, okay? Because you get a lot of religious Christians will be like, well, my piles stack more nicely and taller than your pile. And it's like, that's disgusting because it's still a pile. And you say, well, my pile's bigger than your pile. Or I don't think that's a good thing. Or I put sprinkles on my pile and pretend it's a cookie, right? It doesn't matter what you pray. It's still a steaming pile. And Paul says, once I met Jesus, my whole life I realized was just a stacking, stinking pile of poop. And so what do? Where do you get righteousness? And this is what Paul says. This is so great. He says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Right, the righteousness doesn't come from all the great things that I've done. It doesn't come from following all of the rules perfectly. But that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. See, where do you get righteousness? It's not religion, it's Jesus. And this is why Jesus so passionately opposes religious and religion. It's Jesus or religion, that's all it is. And see, religion says, yeah, you got to work for it. Here's the rules. Here's the list. Make sure you tick them all off. And here's the truth. You and I, everybody that will ever follow Jesus won't do so because we've worked so hard. And Jesus finally says, well, you finally met the bar. You finally lived up to my expectations. Come and join us. Well, you've done it. Our invitation to follow Jesus comes from what he's already done. See, it's not what we do, it's what he's done. Not the life that we live, it's the life that Jesus lives. And religious people will come and say, here's the list, do it. Jesus comes to the cross and says, I've already done it. Here's the gift of faith for you. You see, Jesus takes our sin. He dies on the cross in our place for our sins as a substitute. He rises from the dead. He conquers Satan, sin, and death. He redeems us from religion, and he gives us his righteousness. And what the Bible says is because of that, now we're justified in Christ, now we're redeemed in Christ, now we're forgiven in Christ, now we're adopted in Christ, and it's all because of what Jesus has done and not what we've done. And we call this grace. It's a gift. And you don't take a gift and say, well, how can I repay you for this? You take a gift and you receive it. You say, thank you for this gift. You just receive it. And so for those of you that are here this morning, some of you, you deeply, thoroughly need to repent of your religion. Or we say, enough with religion, enough with the rule making, enough of making sure everybody else in society is following under our rules and living according to what we think they should live, enough with the self-righteousness, enough with doing the minor things to feel good about ourselves, but totally ignoring what matters most. Or we would repent of our religion and we would come to Jesus. And some of you are here this morning, you would realize, hey, my thing isn't working. It's not religion. You've just been living your own life and you're like, it's not working. You know things aren't as they should be. But between you and Jesus have been a lot of stinking religious people. And they've blocked the way and they've made it confusing with all of their do this and don't do that and stop this and start this. And you're confused and disoriented. Or maybe you want to get to Jesus and your fear is, but if I get Jesus, do I have to get religion? And is there a way to have Jesus without religion? And that's the good news. Is because it's just Jesus. And today, he removes all of the religious people before you and just opens himself to you. And he says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden. Maybe those of you that have been carrying the yoke of religion. Jesus says, I'll forgive your sin and give rest to your soul. And so here's my invitation, all of this to say, that if you find yourself and you're look at this list of things, and you say, you know what? I think I've been more religious than I have passionate about Jesus. Then it's time to repent of that and say, Jesus, I want you. And all of the religion that I've been using to mask myself from being fully committed to you, I'm going to lay the religion and just say, Jesus, I just want to commit to you. I just want to follow you. I just want to do what you do. I want to be transformed by your Holy Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you've not been following God and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you just receive it. You just receive him. And so this morning, I want to ask everybody if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to give those two opportunities to you. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I've been using religion as a mask to not really, it doesn't really cost me anything. Like I do just enough and just to kind of get by, and I feel okay with it, but I know I've been using it as a cover, and you're willing to lay aside your religion to just follow Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're bold enough to say that, I'm laying down my religion, and I'm choosing to follow. Just raise your hand, would you? Nobody looking around. God, I thank you so much for those of us that are responding this morning.